Housings of the Aged Action Group, HAGE for short, a housing group for older people run by older people. Present
Raise the Roof!
We advocate for secure, affordable and appropriate housing. So listen up on the second and fourth Wednesday of the month at 5:30pm on 3CR 855 on your AM dial.
That's right, you're listening to Raise the Roof, the Housing for the Aged Action Group show here on 3CR 855am. My name is Shane, I'm here with Liz. How are you doing today, Liz?
I'm not too bad, thanks Shane. How are you?
Look, it's been a long day, but it's almost over. What more can you ask for?
So this week is Cultural Diversity Week, and HAGE has put out a statement recently with regards to the political scapegoating where migrants are being blamed for the housing crisis, which of course is a ridiculous proposition because the housing crisis impacts everybody. It impacts renters everywhere. It impacts all of us. So today we've got an interview with Hoda, who is a bilingual volunteer with Housing for the Aged Action Group, and she works on community education. And then we're joined by Melissa, who is a worker for HAGE in their outreach team.
Great. So we're going to jump right into those interviews. So Hoda, I think you've been involved in HAGE maybe just about as long as I have, or even longer. How long have you been?
Well, I'm not sure about yours, but okay. I lost count actually because you say more than 15 years. Okay. So it's been a long time.
Yeah.
A long time.
And how did you get involved?
I got involved when I was working in the field because I'm actually an accredited mental health social worker.
Mm-hmm.
So when I used to work with organizations, so I used to attend network meetings and that's how I got involved.
Yeah, great.
I used to go to network meeting and one of the workers, HAGE workers,
mm-hmm.
you know, we just met there and we just developed this relationship. And because I work with migrant or people from non-English speaking background,
mm-hmm.
I guess, yeah, so, and HAGE, they had this reference group.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we started. Then I'm semi-retired now, so I don't work full-time as like before, but I kept going mm-hmm. with HAGE as on a volunteer basis. So I'm really a volunteer now with the reference group, and also I'm a member of the for a committee of management for 3 years now. So
excellent.
So tell us about the work that you do with people in the community with HAGE, with the bilingual work that you do with education.
Oh, I guess we have two roles with what I'm doing. Like we in a reference group, it's mainly we be part of giving information to the organizations,
mm-hmm.
so they'll understand how to they deliver their services. So, but one of the other things we really do it's running information or we call them education session to mm-hmm. To the. I guess I come from the Arabic communities, and mm-hmm. when I say Arabic, it's they 22 countries.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. We all speak, if we speak the proper Arabic, so we all understand each other. Mm. But it's 22 countries, really. Mm.
Yeah.
So because my involvement in my job before, and you can say that I'm like a leader kind of with my community. So the role of community education or that is just to meet with our people and actually give them information about the organization, what they provide and what they're eligible for. And the positive about this that we deliver this in our language. So
yeah.
when we meet with seniors groups, because that's how we target the seniors, because we work like our target is seniors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we meet with the leaders first. We get the permission that we want to come and, you know, run this information session. And it's actually not just the information. We give them, it's like raising awareness
mm-hmm.
about what's available for them in the communities,
mm-hmm.
which they don't know because the lack of the English language, you know, the lack of they don't go out as being, you know, older mm-hmm. or seniors. So we go to them. which is really, So we'll tell them about the organization, what the services they provide, and also we tell them if they want to, we can help them with the referral forms on like on the day. So, or sometimes we can ask the leader to do the referrals and maybe send them, email them to me so I can, we can give them to the organization. We because we understand the culture and the language, so we engage this, the people easily this way. And we respond to any questions they have. And normally, like that, we are in the session, let's say 45 minutes, and sometimes it goes for 2 hours just because they want to, they keep you at the end. They want to ask about the individual issues or situation, and that takes time. So that's mainly what we do in our education sessions.
And so I guess, you know, what are some of the things that people say to you when they come and want to talk about their individual situations? Like what is the, you know, what are you seeing in the community from older people?
Okay, I think for senior people, they really, because of their financial situation, and I will divide the communities into the regular people who comes here as migrants, but the last, like, maybe the last 5 or 7 years, we have lots, we got lots of refugees who's been just coming from a war zone, and they have, again, lots of issues to adjust or settlement, to have a settlement in the country here. So the seniors, mainly, their issue is about they living with the adults, children, and the house is overcrowded. And sometimes they have to do lots of things, like, you know, looking after the grandchildren, do the cooking, helping in the housework, because they both, if it's son or daughter or and their wives or husband working, so they find themselves, you know, they have to do lots of that. They're not comfortable. They're not meeting their basic needs as an accommodation. There's no safety. There's no comfortable. Sometimes they have to share a room with an adolescent or with a child, so there's no privacy, or they have to stay in the lounge, on the couch. So lots of these issues, and they're very sensitive to, they don't want to create conflicts or problems, so they keep quiet. But mentally, they really get affected by that. So they start to feel like they need to live more comfortably. So they would like to apply for their own houses. When we tell them about, they're probably eligible, they might be eligible, and what the sort of houses that's available for them and how they can apply, they get really excited about that. And I think if you tell me about what I see, that sometimes they don't want to tell the kids or the adult children in the beginning because they're worried how they're going to think, or it might affect, you know, the dynamic of the family. So does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. And can you tell us a bit about, I mean, Liz and me probably know this, but for the listeners, like what are the services that are available for people that you're telling them about?
Are you talking about housing or are you talking generally?
Well, because let's start with housing and we can talk more generally.
Actually, it's not specifically, we have organization for housing. HAG is the only one who specified into that. But they have like the Arabic welfare, they got VES, they have the council, but they're more general. So they might give them information about where to go to apply. Yeah, so there's St. Vincent, which the Paul, which again they housing, and they do have some Arabic workers because the whole area it's the population, it's lots of migrant there. Yeah, the Arabic community is one of the highest in Hume.
Yeah, and it's mostly in Hume. That in you Hume do area, it's the highest.
Yeah, actually. So there's no specific housing service except, if we talk about public house, they go to the office and they don't, again, the language and all of that. But like HAG, I think it's a unique in that sense.
Well, that's very sweet of you to say.
Yeah.
So I didn't tell you I was going to ask this, so I'll put you on the spot a little bit. If we have any Arabic-speaking listeners at the moment, what would you say to them in Arabic?
I say it in Arabic? Do you want to talk in Arabic?
Yeah.
okay. أنا حابة أقول لهم أهلاً وسهلاً. وحب أقول لهم إن أي حد عنده مشكلة في السكن خصوصاً لكبار السن يا ريت يتصلوا بمنظمة هاج نمرة التليفون يمكن نقولها في آخر البرنامج، لأن ممكن هما يساعدوهم إزاي يقدموا طلب على البيوت الحكومة أو البيوت الاجتماعية اللي هي بتبقى مضمونة أكتر وأرخص طبعا. ولما بياخدوا البيت ما بيجي زي البيوت الخاصة يقولوا لهم امشوا سنة ويغيروا العقد، بتبقى مضمونة يعني. وأي حاجة بتحتاج البيت مثلا زي مانتنس بيبقوا هما مسؤولين يعملوها. فياريت لو محتاجين أي، لو أي حد عنده مشكلة في السكن، وإحنا عارفين في الوقت اللي إحنا فيه ده مشاكل السكن كتيرة، فلو نتصل بمنظمة هاج ونشوف نقدر نساعدهم إزاي. شكرا.
And the short version, what did you say?
Okay, I think I told them, you know, hello first, and I told them that I want to speak to them about, you know, HAG as housing organization. So if any of them, if any got any issues mm-hmm. about the housing, mm-hmm. you know, if they can, and I contact the, and I will say the number at the end. Yeah, I wasn't sure about this part, but I hope we can give information. Yes. Yeah, so...
Excellent.
All right. Thanks very much. So I reckon we're going to try and get one of our workers, Melissa, on the phone to join the conversation. So we'll be right back after these community service announcements.
City Limits. Brought to us by the People's Committee for Melbourne every Wednesday at 9 a.m.
City Limits is Melbourne's only hour devoted to our urban environment.
To transport and planning and housing issues.
To privatisations and our utility services.
To building and or maintaining a sense of community. 855 on the AM band, if we can hear it through the noise and find it through the smog.
City Limits.
If you're experiencing family violence, free legal support is available. You may need support with obtaining protection, setting up safe parenting arrangements, organising a new visa, getting into safe housing, or making sure bills and bank accounts are split fairly. Community legal centres have expertise in helping people who experience family violence and can provide confidential advice to help you understand your rights and legal options. Reach out today for guidance and support. Visit www.fclc.org.au and click Get Help to find a community legal centre near you. You don't have to face family violence alone. If you're currently in crisis, please contact Safe Steps on 1800 015 188. Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Hi, you're listening to Raise the Roof, the Housing for the Aged Action Group show on 3CR, 8:55 a.m. And I'm Shane. I'm in the studio with Liz and Hoda today. And we are joined now on the phone by Melissa, who works at Housing for the Aged Action Group. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Excellent. So I guess to start with, can you tell us a bit about, well, how long you've been at HAG? Because this has been a running theme for this episode, how long we've all been around.
Yeah.
and what it is that you do?
Yeah. I'm actually one of the longest serving, I think, at the moment. I've been there for almost 13 years,
mm-hmm.
which was a project, and we secured the funding and we all stayed on. And I'm one of the housing support workers with Home at Last team. So my primary job is conduct assessment, people's eligibility for Victorian public housing registry, and then say follow up their applications, and when we get an offer, assist them to move in and settle in their new home and new suburbs.
All right. So this week we wanted to talk a bit about the specific barriers that older people who are, you know, from migrant backgrounds, from non-English speaking backgrounds, et cetera, have to deal with in, you know, accessing housing in Victoria. So, you know, that was a bit of a vague question, but can you tell us about that? Like, what's your experience of working with older people from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds?
Yeah, well, the one of the main barriers we all know is the language. When you don't speak the language, it is a bit difficult to access the information or advocate for yourself. If I may give one simple example, for example, this afternoon we were conducting an offer interview, and I know a client is couch surfing with the family, but the way that housing officer was asking the question, it sounded like she was paying rent and in a rental property, and she was almost going to say, no, you are not eligible. Mm-hmm. But what client was trying to say, that she was actually couch surfing, but because it probably doesn't even exist in her language, she put it in a way that, you know, she was in a shared accommodation, which wasn't so. That's where I think our expertise as bilingual workers, our expertise come in to clarify the issues and, you know, to advocate on the behalf of clients. And the second thing is also, most of us come from countries that we don't have any public housing, and the application process is very difficult. It is, everything is online. Even with bond application now, client has to have an email address. And I don't know many 70-plus age group, even with English, you know, from non-English speaking background, people maintaining an email address. It's not something that they experience throughout their life, and they don't want to get involved with, you know, in emails or things like that. So that's where we come from, and I always make sure that I provide my email address, my telephone number, so they can contact the clients via me, so that I can explain clients what's happening.
In my own language,
if the client happens to be Turkish, or with an interpreter, of course, that we use. Housing for the Age Action Group is it's such a responsive organization. 50% of our service users at Home at Last program come from non-English speaking background, and more than 50% of our Home at Last team reflects that. So we all speak language or two language or something in amongst ourselves. So,
Melissa, this issue about the lack of access to information, or sometimes things, information being lost in translation or misconstrued. And I know, like, at the moment, politically, people from migrant backgrounds have really been scapegoated about the housing crisis and been blamed for the lack of housing. But actually, from what, Melissa, from what you and Hoda are both saying, people, there's a lot of a gap, there's an information gap. So actually, because a lot of people are not aware, it actually can't be the case that migrants can be blamed for the lack of housing.
Well, it's absolutely not the case. And also, it's not only the migrants being blamed in general. If you say that people from Anglo-Saxon background are also migrants, they are not the ones blamed here. So we talk, they literally talking about people from Middle East. Your Turkish and Arabic and Syrian or whatever. That's my definite understanding of it. And it is not the case. Most of my clients are from Middle Eastern backgrounds, and they are couch surfing. Some of them are living in their cars, and it is just a false misinformation just to scapegoat migrants. If there is anything, we contributed very positively in every aspect of living in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So you talked
about... I'm sure
Hoda
would agree with me.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I guess they're using migrants as the cause of the housing crisis. But as you know, we all know, it's more political issues. And they don't want to blame themselves, the government, not building, you know. Yeah. So they, again, it's a game. It's a dirty game, unfortunately. Mm. But our clients or our communities are getting caught into that. And they already got lots of issues to deal with. They don't need that extra because it's impacting on their mental health, especially when you say the Middle East. There's a fear now. It's, you know, like, I do see clients for mental health issues, and they worried that they might send them home. Like, I have this woman, she was too scared. She said, there's a war there. Where will I go? Like, she started to panic, and I don't blame her, you know. It's just a bit scary, the division they're doing in the communities. Are actually very scary. So how it's going to end, I'm not sure, but I guess it's up to us as volunteers and workers to probably maybe make sure this, to at least to the clients, to maybe get them to provide enough support and maybe to deal with the mental issues, mental health issues. And
migrants also tend to live more like extended families, especially people from Mediterranean or Middle Eastern background. And there was this misunderstanding in the community that, you know, the woks or migrants take care of their own elderly. That's a myth. That's not the case at all. Nobody is looking after their elderly anymore. So they all need appropriate, affordable housing, whether it is permanent care, whether it is independent living. That's the myth anymore. That's not true at all.
No, it's not true, and it's the opposite, actually, Melissa, because I do believe that the seniors or the grandparents who lives with the adults, children, they are the one who's taking care of the grandchildren. And, you know, so they're helping the family to boss, husband and wife, to go to work and all of that. Of course, it's creating a bit of stress and pressure on the seniors. But, I agree with you. No, it's they're more helping. Yes.
So, Melissa, you talked a bit about the sort of barriers to housing in terms of language and communication stuff. But what about just like the housing system itself? Because you deal with that all day, every day. Like, what's it like trying to house older people, you know, from all sorts of backgrounds at the moment?
Well, one of my one of the issues that I come across, and the whole Home at Last team, is the location of the property. We can understand that we feel really safe when we live close by to similar people like ourselves. People want to go to their shop or their mosque or their church, or they want to live around, you know, close to them and visit their neighbors and things like that. If somebody always lived in the northwest region, let's say in Broadmeadows, and because of the lack of housing options, and if I have, and I do often have to tell them, unfortunately, if your situation is really urgent, if you really need to move, the only property available in Brighton, that's really, this is really, you know, that's not something that they would rather put up with their crappy lifestyle wherever they're living and crowd surfing in car than going to live in Brighton, because there is nothing in Brighton for them.
Yeah. Can I just add something? Because I agree with you. Because they, if they come as a refugee, they already went through heaps of trauma and left their home or lost some of their families, neighbors. So it's understandable. They want to come here and they want to be near their, as you're saying, near their communities, near their doctors, all of that. But I also, when I do the community education or the information session, I really start to encourage people, because let's be realistic here, Melis, because again, hoping that the government will build, but that's also going to take, 5 to 10 years, like it's going to take a bit of time. But I faced a situation, I encourage them to, you know, how they have two options. So they show them a property, and if they don't like it, they keeping them on the waiting list, and then until another property comes. I really encourage them to go and have a look at the property, have a look at the location. Because I had this experience with one of the clients. They give her a place in an apartment in the city. And she contacted me, and she was really worried about that. It's too far, the city. And so I encouraged her, go and have a look before you say yes or no. She went, and actually it was a brand new apartment. And it's all surrounded with garden and transport. So she decided to sit a bit longer instead of refuse the offer. And then I kept working with her about how she can get familiar with what's available around her. So she slowly started to get used to it. She loved it. She said, I got a small dog. I can take him for a walk. She found a small groups that they meet from the Arabic communities. She learned how to catch the tram to go to the church in Bodies. So sometimes I really like to encourage them, but at the end I say it's your decision. Mm-hmm. If you still don't like it, you don't have to take it. The other option is sometimes she can go through a transfer, which process happen with public housing, that the people can like to go to the city, or so they can swap or transfer so they can do that. So I just like to be realistic instead of, you know, yes, I agree, we're going to advocate with the government, please put them together. They need to be, you know, they need the support, they need all of that. But absolutely. In the meantime, go and have a look. Like, don't refuse straight away.
Absolutely. Yeah. It is very important to explain to them what is the reality, what's available, so they are able to make an informed decision. Absolutely. Understand why someone who always lived in Broad Meadows hesitant to go and live, you know, especially if you don't speak the language. And of course, you can learn the language, we all did, you can learn to use the public transport, but for some older people, it is really very difficult, you know. That's not something that we do at that life, at that level, you know, when the lifespan, when you are older, it is...
You're getting more weaker, actually, health-wise.
No, you're supposed to be enjoying, you know, your grandchildren, you're supposed to be contemplating your funeral, or, you know, you're not supposed to be worrying about housing.
You're 100% right, Melissa, but I believe HAG, as an organization, got a very strong advocacy role on a higher level. And that's one of the reasons, I guess, when we go and meet with the communities, we go back to the organization and tell them that's the need. So we pass it on so they can do it on a higher level,
Totally agree.
I am sorry to interrupt this great conversation, but we are just about out of time. So I'm going to have to thank you both for your time today. Melissa, thanks for jumping on the phone. I know there was a bit of chaos getting you here. And Hoda, thanks for coming in.
Melissa, I got a referral. I'm going to send it to you tomorrow.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. Please do.
I got it already. I will email it to you when I go back home tomorrow.
All right. We can talk about this off the air. I'm just going to stop the recording here. All right, well, we are almost out of time. We'll be back on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. Thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to give HAG a call because you are an older person with a housing issue and you'd like some advice or assistance, the best number to call is 1300 765 178. That's 1300 765 178. If you want to give us a call, talk about the radio, give us some positive feedback. I guess negative feedback also is allowed. You can call us, or if you want to get involved in our working groups, want to get involved in some of our community ed stuff, want to be involved, want to come to a meeting, become a member, all that stuff, 9654-7389. That's 9654-7389. We are just about out of time. I have a tortured attempt to link the song that I'm going to play us out with to the topic of today's show, which is that if you, anyone in this community, who thinks that the reason that we're in a housing crisis, the reason that prices are so high, the reason that there's so little affordable housing, so little public housing, anyone who thinks any of that has anything to do with migrants and not the failures of successive governments or the deliberate policies of successive governments is an absolute fool. And really, they ought to know. And we're going to hear You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette. See ya.